The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I will be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, July 15th through Sunday, July 21st, 2024. The commentary for July was written by Aaron Morey, an Episcopal priest and attorney who lives with many rescue pets in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The commentary for Monday, July 15th, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Joshua, chapter 2, verse 11b. The Lord your God is indeed God in heaven above and on earth below. Here's the commentary. In this portion of Joshua, a woman named Rahab, a Canaanite and a sex worker, helps Israelite spies escape safely from Jericho. According to the Gospel of Matthew, she will eventually become the mother of Boaz, who marries the biblical heroine Ruth. Thus, she becomes the great-grandmother of King David. She is so significant that she is one of the few female ancestors of Jesus named in his genealogy. And here she speaks a version of the Shema, the great creedal statement of the Jewish faith, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone." In Mark 12, Jesus himself acknowledges this statement of faith as the greatest commandment, that we should love God with all our heart and our neighbors as ourselves. This bedrock statement of faith crosses boundaries of gender, class, culture, and tradition, and reminds us that no matter our differences, God is one and we are God's people. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Joshua, chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. Then Joshua, son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go, view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and spent the night there. The king of Jericho was told, "Some Israelites have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come only to search out the whole land." But the woman took the two men and hid them. Then she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from." And when it was time to close the gate at dark, the men went out. "Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you can overtake them." She had, however, brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. So the men pursued them on the way to Jordan as far as the fords. As soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before they went to sleep, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that dread of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt in fear before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no courage left in any of us because of you. The Lord your God is indeed God in heaven above and on earth below. Now then, since I have dealt kindly with you, swear to me by the Lord that you in turn will deal kindly with my family. Give me a sign of good faith that you will spare my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. The men said to her, "Our life for yours. If you do not tell this business of ours, then we will deal kindly and faithfully with you when the Lord gives us the land." And the moving forward question for this Monday, July 15th, is what does it mean to you that God is God, one and all power and authority? The commentary for Tuesday, July 16th, begins with a passage from Romans 11, verse 18b. Remember that it is not you that support the root, but the root that supports you. For a long time, the parish I serve had an outreach ministry that involved preparing a large number of meals for the local emergency shelter. Members of the parish would make meatloaves, which would then be defrosted by volunteers and supplemented with side dishes. One year, the shelter received funding to stay open all winter, not just during inclement weather. So the number of meals we had to prepare scaled up dramatically. The volunteers and I were incredibly worried about meeting this demand. As it turns out, the parish rose to meet the challenge with such gusto that we had enough meatloaf that winter and enough extra to prepare meals for other programs. And, having achieved that goal, the momentum continued, and the parish took on new projects and expanded others. When we work together as a community, with Jesus as the root of all our work, we can do so much more than we can as individuals, and so much more than my limited imagination can dream. And now I'm going to read from this full passage of Romans, chapter 11, verses 13 through 24. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I glorify my ministry in order to make my own people jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy, and if the root is holy, then the branches also are holy. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in their place to share the rich root of the olive tree, do not boast over the branches. If you do boast, remember that it is not you that support the root, but the root that supports you. You will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand only through faith. So do not become proud, but stand in awe. For if God did not spare the natural branches, perhaps he will not spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen. But God's kindness toward you, provided you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And even those of Israel, if they do not persist in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you have been cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree? And the moving forward suggestion for this day is, if you enjoy this program and Forward Movement, you can help support the ministry of Forward Movement by going to forwardmovement.org. The commentary for Wednesday, July 17th begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 39. When was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? Here's the commentary. God has blessed me with an interesting career and life arc. First, I served as a public defender, then as a domestic violence advocate, and finally as a priest. I have spent a lot of time in courtrooms, jails, and hospitals and witnessed the anguish of the people in those places. I will always be haunted by the time a judge unexpectedly revoked a man's probation and that man's child shrieked, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy," in terror as his father was led away in handcuffs. When I walked into a common area of the jail to meet with a client, I was often swarmed by people desperate for help from a lawyer. Jesus compels us to care for the sick and those in prison. All too often, these human beings feel completely forgotten, and yet they are beloved children of God, made in God's image, and we are called to love and care for them too, as Jesus loves and cares for all of us. And now I'm going to read the full gospel for this day from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are cursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, what assumptions have you made about incarcerated people? What judgments have you made about people who need medical care? Could they be inaccurate? The commentary for Thursday, July 18th, begins with a passage from Joshua in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 17. "The priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan." The drama of walking through the Red Sea in the Exodus is a pivotal moment in the liberation of God's people. So I often don't think very much about God allowing his people to walk through a waterway on dry land more than once. Then again, I have a list of favorite places to see spring flowers every year, and I hustle to visit each as many times as possible. The chirps of the tiny spring peeper frogs in vernal pools greet me as I watch the bluets, bluebells, skunk cabbage, Dutchman's breeches, and trout lily grow. But my favorite of all is the trillium. I am often so excited that I cry when I see my first one of the year. And when they spread up and across high, rocky hillsides, I cannot believe I get to live in a world where God has heaped up waves of such breathtakingly extravagant beauty. And I'm going to read the full passage from Joshua chapter 3, verses 14 through chapter 4, verse 7. When the people set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were in front of the people. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. So when those who bore the Ark had come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, the waters flowing from above stood still, rising up in a single heap far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, while those flowing toward the Sea of the Arabah, the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off. Then the people crossed over opposite Jericho. While all Israel were crossing over on dry ground, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan. When the entire nation had finished crossing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Select 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priests' feet stood. Carry them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you camp tonight.'" Then Joshua summoned the 12 men from the Israelites whom he had appointed, one from each tribe. Joshua said to them, "Pass on before the Ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, one for each of the tribes of the Israelites, so that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, 'What do those stones mean to you?' then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the Israelites a memorial forever." And the moving forward question for this Thursday, have you ever returned to a special place to experience the continuing love of God? Have you ever taken such an experience for granted? Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, July 19th. It begins with a passage from Psalm 31, verse 21. "Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me the wonders of his love in a besieged city." As I look back on my experience with cancer, the entire episode seems like a cloud of chaos. Stupefying pain and exhaustion, the stress and loneliness of being in and out of the hospital, the grief of my life seeming to fall apart. Yet when I look back at the camera roll of pictures I took during that time, I see moments that feel like they couldn't possibly have taken place then. Horseback rides, birthday parties, dinners with friends, baseball games, movies, goat yoga, ukulele playing, vacations, Renaissance fairs, even just normal days at work. It seems unthinkable in the face of so much suffering and death, life and even joy could continue. Grief is real, death is real, and suffering is real. But even in the midst of a besieged city, and maybe especially then, God shows up and shows us love. I can't imagine what this psalmist must have seen and endured when praying these words. But they have spoken to my heart many times. And now I'm going to read from this passage of Psalm from chapter 31, verses 17 through 24. Do not let me be put to shame, O Lord, for I call on you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go dumbfounded to Sheol. Let the lying lips be stilled that speak insolently against the righteous with pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness that you have laid up for those who fear you and accomplished for those who take refuge in you in the sight of everyone. In the shelter of your presence you hide them from human plots. You hold them safe under your shelter from contentious tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was beset as a city under siege. I had said in my alarm, I am driven far from your sight, but you heard my supplications when I cried out to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts haughtily. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. And the moving forward question for today, has there been a time when God showed up for you unexpectedly or in the midst of pain? The commentary for Saturday, July 20th begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew 26, verse 26. Take, eat, this is my body. After I made my first communion in second grade, our parish clergy visited my classroom to see who was interested in being altar servers. I raised my hand with delight, only to be told girls were not allowed to participate. Still, I played Mass with my friends after school and was active in my parish's music program so I could be close to the altar. Decades later, it touches my heart when I raise the chalice after saying Jesus' words, instituting the sacrament of Holy Communion, and see a glimpse of myself reflected in it. Jesus commands us to gather around God's table and share this meal in his memory, and it is a joy to follow that call. I love looking into the eyes of each person as I hand them a host, and I treasure that moment of communion between them, myself, and God. I get to share this every week, be it with a newly baptized child, an elderly person dying in a hospital, a couple on their wedding day, youth at camp, or a family on Christmas Eve. I am grateful for this beautiful connection. And now I'm going to read the passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 26 through 35. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, even though I must die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all of the disciples. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, what does communion with God and other people feel like for you? Now, as we reach the end of this program and the end of the week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, July 21st, the ninth Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 56. Wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, all who touched Jesus' cloak were healed. Jesus meets the world where it is and heals wherever he goes. He teaches from boats and heals people in his own home, with the roof torn off, no less. Even Jesus' normal everyday clothing can restore people's health. All of a sudden, the boundary between what is God's house and the rest of the world is gone. God's power is not constrained by a physical building. And Jesus heals, miraculously feeds the hungry, and forgives sins in that open space between the holy and the mundane. By becoming human, Jesus blows the lid off any neat distinction between the sacred and the everyday, and heals the wounds of human life. And now I'll read from the Gospel today from Mark chapter 6, verses 53 to 56. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, is there a division between your church life and your everyday life? How can you heal that division and honor the sacred every day? That's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you're hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org.